Shop Woodhouse Ford first and experience the difference today. Our sales staff is here to make sure you find your perfect car, truck, or SUV. Visit one of our three convenient locations in Blair, Omaha, or Plattsmouth, or shop online at woodhouse.com. Woodhouse Ford. Build Ford proud.
All right, a couple of things in the college football world before we bring on our friend Brian Christopherson. There has been an announcement. We were just discussing earlier that more bowl games could fall by the wayside. The Holiday Bowl canceling this bowl game for this year. I think there's going to be others. But when we do have a bowl season, they have a new name. It's just going to be called bowl season.
Oh, that's original.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
We're going to have a time during our calendar where the leaves are going to change and the temperatures are going to dip. I'm going to call it fall.
Oh.
So it's now called bowl season.
I like that.
The even bigger story is there are reports out of West Lafayette that Rondale Moore will not play tomorrow against Iowa. Still waiting for more information. People that cover Purdue are saying that Rondale Moore is out of the lineup for the game against Iowa. No further details. And with that said, let's welcome in from Husker 24/7, Brian Christopherson. That kind of changes the mood in West Lafayette, if that's true. You got no head coach, you got no dynamic superstar, and you got an Iowa team coming to town.
Yeah, they have some assistants out, too, I think, although they haven't specified who. Purdue would not have been a bad draw in week one, it seems.
No, that would have been, of course, we were all looking forward to that pre-COVID game. Hey, before we jump into Nebraska stuff, let's stick in the Big Ten, because it's such a narrative potential is off the charts for what's going to happen tomorrow night up in Minneapolis. What do you think the expectation is for Minnesota this year? P.J. Fleck has got they won 11 games last year. He made some noise. They've got good talent in the program. It's been a very interesting offseason. They're kind of taking the approach that things are bigger than football. Rashad Bateman, they've got a lot of stuff that they've combined with their community that went through a rough summer. We didn't know if they wanted to play or not. They're back. What do you think happens with Minnesota this year?
I think they're going to be a contender in the West, but not win it. I think the schedule sets up pretty nicely for them. But I do have some question marks, in particular sort of about the last few months. You kind of brought it up within that question. They were one of those programs where you couldn't tell, did they really want to dive into the deep end on this season or not? You kind of got the impression sometimes they didn't. And so you sort of wonder where they're at compared with some of these other programs that were just nonstop pushing to play. And we're thinking we're going to play football somehow, some way, even when it looks bleak. So that's where I wonder a little bit about them. I do think they're going to have a good year, though, because they've got a good offensive line, and they got, as you mentioned, good skill guys back, including Bateman opting back in. I'm curious when they get a little tougher slate put in front of them, whether they can keep this rolling like it has been the last year, though. I feel like they really took advantage of a good schedule in front of them. They gained confidence through some close early wins and, had a great season. But I sort of think they're going to settle back into more of a 6-7 win team when we get back to normal season.
So they will not be rowing past Wisconsin to some people. Speaking of Wisconsin, so tonight they start against Illinois, which is, man, hey, the Big Ten last year, that was one of the bigger upsets in all the college football. Let's put them together. Let's play up in Madison. It's going to be weird. They'll still play jump around, but there won't be students there. So all the players will just jump around at the beginning of the fourth quarter. You know, Wisconsin is one of those teams that seems to get the benefit of the doubt, and they've earned that. They've lost another round of really good players, including their starting running back. They've lost their two key linebackers, their top wide receiver. So here's Wisconsin in 2020. What do you think happens with the Badgers? And with knowing that Graham Mertz is the guy that's going to replace Jack Cohen until he's back.
They're my pick to win the division. I trust their defense. I mean, they just routinely put out top five, top 10 defenses. And so that's a nice thing to hang your hat on. Even when they have to adjust players in and out there, they seem to find a way to function really well and handle teams. And obviously, their O-line, you know, consistently they just churn out guys who are all conference players. And when you win in the trenches, you win a lot of games. So even with the QB switch, which, you know, we'll see. Maybe it'll work to their benefit. Mertz was a guy a lot of people are pretty excited about when he was a recruit. I would still pick them to win the division. Mm-hmm. And yet, I think that game in Lincoln next week is going to be very, very interesting. And I think a lot of people in the West Division will be watching that game in Lincoln because it's one of those games where if Nebraska got them and pulled off, and well, I guess people would qualify as an upset, suddenly everybody in the West Division is saying, okay, I think maybe we could grab that now. So that's going to be an interesting early game in Lincoln.
I think there could be a trio of 5-3 teams to come out of the West. I actually like Iowa to win the West. I like their offensive talent. I think they're good at wide receiver. They're deep at running back. They've got a good offensive line. I think they've got another quarterback that's going to be their starter for a while. They've still got to find some linebackers, which it seems they always do. They got to find somebody to play defensive end. They're inexperienced at both of those spots. What's your thoughts on Iowa, who by the way, opens at Purdue, and they've confirmed that Rondale Moore will not play tomorrow?
I mean, you summarized them very well. Of course, the question is, you know, they had a very turbulent offseason.
Yeah.
For some pretty important reasons. And I'm curious what that did to them. Now, there's the possibility, and I don't say these words lightly, but sometimes, you know, you shine a light on something and yet you talk some things out with your guys. And as a team, you actually become closer through that. And that's a possibility. But it's sort of on quiet on the football front, it feels like, with Iowa to me, where I haven't heard a lot about them, honestly, as just like what could happen between the lines. It feels like a lot of the stuff has been outside the line stuff. So I'm really interested just sort of where their mentality is at as they go into this season. But you brought up the points. I mean, they do have some pretty good offensive weapons. Their quarterback's going to have to grow on the job. And that's one spot where maybe I wouldn't pick them to win the division. But I'm with you. Wisconsin's got a nice schedule set up for them, but let's say, you know, Nebraska or somebody knocks Wisconsin off early in the year, then I think what you're talking about is totally in play, where we could have about a three-way tie for the division.
Do you think Nebraska will be in that mix?
I'm hesitant to say that because of the schedule. Mm-hmm. Because you get the two toughest teams in the East as your crossovers. So it's not a fair fight, and that's just the facts of it. It's not on you know, what's on paper. And so I think it's difficult from that perspective when you could argue you're already starting, and this isn't the way you would look at it if you're within the Husker program, but from the outside looking in, you could say you start the season almost a game or two behind everybody else just because of the schedule formatting. I happen to think Nebraska is going to upset either Penn State or Wisconsin. I don't know who it's going to be, but I have this hunch they're going to get one of those games, and I just have that feeling. So if they do that and they come out of the first four games, let's say they're 2-2 even, I think if you're Nebraska, you're looking at it like anything could happen then.
Yep.
You've gone through the toughest slate anybody in the country has faced, honestly. And if you're 500 going down the back stretch, there's some confidence that would be attached to even having that record at that point. And so, you know, as competitors, I know they're not looking at it like, hey, let's go 2-2 the first four games. But from a reality standpoint, if they were sitting there heading into the back half of the season, I would say very much they would have an opportunity for the division, especially if one of those wins were against Wisconsin where you held a tiebreaker.
Let's go on the each side of the ball. Let's start with offense. Greg Austin spoke last night. We love Greg Austin because he's a straight shooter, and he'll tell you the good and the bad. And you can just hear it in his voice, and it wasn't just last night on the radio on the Husker Sports Network. It has been since the return to camp. He feels really good, and he should about what he has to work with. He's very lucky, and I think when the season is over, his status in terms of being discussed as one of the better offensive line coaches around the country. It'll get a lot more play because he's starting to get more experience coaching at this level. That's a proven area where Nebraska has to be good, and I think they'll be good. You wrote about it the other day, and this is something that, you know, might be a challenge all season long. For an offense that doesn't have a lot of proven playmakers, what do you think, and again, people can read the story on Husker 24/7, what do you think happens at wide receiver? Not just tomorrow with who's going to play where or when they're going to play, but what do you think that position looks like as we go through the next couple of months?
I think it's one of the biggest mysteries of tomorrow, who is exactly in that rotation, who they trust to put on the field in this game. As Scott Frost said, all of those newcomers could play some, but it's a question of how much they know. Like, there's some things that certain guys feel comfortable with where you could put them in for a package of plays and they know what they're doing with that, but they just don't know the whole book yet. And that's where those guys are it's going to take some time to grow. It sounds from the surface that, you know, we probably aren't going to get the Omar or Manning experience right away. Alante Brown, to me, has been the newcomer from the 2020 guys that they consistently talk about and everybody's been impressed with. So I expect we're going to see some Alante Brown, and I think he could even be heavily involved right off the bat. Aside from that, obviously Wandale and Cade Warner, but then you need some guys who are walk-on type guys, like a Levi Fouts, for example, to be better than some people imagine just by reading his name. You know, I think people dismiss it like, oh, this guy from South Dakota, what's he going to do? But, you know, if he's a reliable guy and can make some plays, well, some younger guys like Marcus Fleming and Xavier Betts get their footing, and then they're ready in a few weeks to help you out more, then you're not in a bad situation. I think what eases the concern here, some of it is Matt Lubick's nature. He's got an optimistic way about him, and when he's very practical when he talks to the media, but you sense he has confidence in his group. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that has always come across from him in his interviews this camp, is that whatever questions we have on the outside, what he's seeing on the inside is enough to make him think they can function and I think get some things done. So that helps your confidence a little bit there. And then the tight ends, they should be much, much better. That's an experienced group. They need to be a strength of this team, and they can help the receiving game. And I also think they're going to find clever ways to get the ball to, like, Ronald Tompkins, for example, who's a very good pass catcher. Like, they might have some clever designs and things that can get those guys who we don't call receivers, but mm-hmm. they will be important in the receiving game involved.
Do you think, I think I told someone this yesterday, when we get close to the season, we talk about all the newcomers and we're fascinated by guys we haven't seen before, and we just kind of take for granted the guys that have been here. Well, one of those guys is Wandale Robinson. An ideal season for Wandale Robinson in terms of touches per game will look like what, in your opinion, for Nebraska to be successful?
I think you want him to touch the ball like 15 times a game. I mean, I think he's the best player on the roster to me. I think he's been undersold this offseason sometimes. I'm a big Wandale believer, and I say that. I know he was hurt some last year, but he also won Nebraska two games. I mean, Nebraska has two wins they maybe don't have if he doesn't make plays against Illinois and kind of take over in the second half. And also Northwestern, let's not forget that game. He had the long touchdown run, which was a highlight run. Then he makes the big catch, which sets up the game-winning field goal. And the offense really had nothing going most of that day. So very few players I've covered where you can sometimes you can point specifically at him and say, hey, this guy won these specific games with his individual play. And Wandale already did that twice as a true freshman. So I have a lot of confidence in him. The whole thing comes down to health, though. Mm-hmm. But you also can't hide behind, like, okay, we're going to put this guy in bubble wrap. And I know everybody doesn't want him to play running back all the time like he did last year. But you still got to find a lot of different ways to get him the ball. And if they line him up in the backfield a few times, I don't have a problem with it. It's football, and you got to take some chances, and you got to have him be a return man. And he's got to do that stuff. And you got to hope for the best a little bit. So I don't think you got to throw caution to the wind. Mm-hmm. I mean, you do. So I hope, I don't think they're going to be cautious with him. I think they're going to let him go, and I hope they give him the ball a lot.
You said the wide receiver group was kind of the mystery of the offense. Do you have an equivalent on the defensive side of the ball?
Outside linebacker, I think it's the biggest worry of the team. Worry spot from the outside. I actually think from the inside, too, when you listen to coaches, it's not that they don't think they can develop there, but it's an unknown. And you start at the top with Caleb Tanner and JoJo Doman. And, you know, JoJo is a playmaker, and we've talked about this on the show before. He's got to become a discipline disruptor now. Like, he's got to become a guy who's an every down player for you, or can be, and does his assignment. And as Eric Chenander always says about JoJo, he's as good as he wants to be. Like, he's got it within him to be a very good player and change game. But you need him to be on his assignment all the time, where he doesn't go looking for the ball and it ends up costing you 30 yards. Caleb Tanner is a guy we've always been excited about, and I think we should have an open mind about him. And one of the reasons is he never redshirted. He's only in his third year in the program. That is sometimes when guys, a lot of times, it's that third year when, especially at a tough position like that, where guys start to find it. And so I go into it not thinking anything's closed on him. He's got a lot of potential. And if he takes his game up a notch or two, that changes everything. But how they use the other guys is interesting. Do they play Nick Henrich out there tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
How much is Feldarius Payne and Nico Cooper involved? Garrett Nelson, obviously. Like, that rotation, along with the receiver rotation, are both interesting storylines.
So you can maneuver this into your answer to this question if you'd like as well. At the end of the day, and we'll do it twofold, tomorrow and during the course of the season, what do you think the ceiling is for this team in 2020?
Well, I think if they find it and they pull an upset early, I'm not beyond saying they could go 6-3 or something like that. I think it's a really tough schedule, and I would say, and I know this doesn't sound good to some people's ears, but, you know, having covered a team that's only won 13 games the last 3 years, if they have a winning season against this schedule, I would think by Christmas Day, when we're thinking about what 2021 looks like, people will be pretty excited.
Yes.
To you. I mean,
yes.
I think if they are 5-4 or better, I have to think people are going to be like, man, this thing's going somewhere. That's how hard this schedule is. But, there's sort of two categories. You want to see them start to knock somebody off, like a Wisconsin or a Penn State, or beat Iowa, and then that streak. And then I'm trying to think of the three games. It's Northwestern.
Purdue, Illinois.
Yeah, I would put those three games in a category, and I would say Nebraska needs to go at least 2-1 against those teams. Obviously, you'd want to go 3-0, but I'm just saying they need to go at least a winning record on those teams and start to win, take care of those games where you say, okay, I think they should get this one. And then if they could work from there and pull an upset or two, you know, then you're at least 4-4 or 5-3. And if you're 4-4 even and you play that ninth game, you probably get a team you could maybe take. And you can have a winning record. And they probably have bigger goals than that over there. If they're competitors, they should. But I do think if they post that kind of season, I would look at it from the outside as, okay, I think some stuff's getting done over there.
I'm with you. I think this is the year to ignite the fan base, create some momentum, which there are plenty of opportunities to do during the course of the season, so that when you do flip to 2021, there's some tangible stuff that you can go, all right, headed in the right direction to get excited about and to build on. And who knows? I mean, we're not knowing what's coming next. We're just glad we get one game and then two games and hopefully get through the season. But it's finally here.
Yeah, it is. And you know, hopefully reasonable minds will come together tomorrow with what we see. I think honestly, maybe they could be the best team in the country. And so you have to factor that into whatever we see. And I know that's a tough outlook to take into a game from a fan media standpoint, but it's necessary, I think, right now when you understand that there's sort of been like the separation in college football. And right now there's basically been Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, maybe you could throw Georgia in there. But basically those three have been at their own little table, and that's the type of team that Raska gets right off the bat tomorrow. So that's always got to be kept in mind with whatever we see.
Yeah, that should be fun. BC, as always, I appreciate it. Look forward to the coverage from all of you in this weird year for football and the way that we're going to cover it. But as always, I appreciate our Friday chats. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot.
That's Brian Christopherson. I mean, it's pretty evident what Ohio State's going to do. They had players that could have walked away that came back. They have a goal. They keep talking about 7 seconds. Chris Olave, his mistake not being on the same page at the end of the Clemson semifinal playoff game with Justin Fields. They are back. They are here for a reason. They haven't gotten over what happened against Clemson. They want to get back to that stage again. So you know that every time out, they're going to try and throw the hammer down. But Nebraska's not just chumming the water. No. I mean, it's going to be a challenge for Nebraska tomorrow. But there is nobody that will get on a plane today and fly to Columbus that should be thinking that way. And if they do, leave them at home. And I don't think they are. I mean, that's another stage of where this program is you can see signs is that guys are like, you know what? We're going to go there and compete. We know it's going to be a challenge. That's a great football team we're playing. That's one of the best teams in the country. That's at least one of the top three teams in the country. And they haven't played a game yet. We're not going there to get run over to be a road map. Or a speed bump, I should say. But you know that I wonder if in the first game with the layoff and the emotion and the weirdness, is if that's your goal is to throw the hammer down for 60 minutes every week, what does that look like week one? I really expect the first half to be choppy. Some sloppy play, some weird things. Maybe a special teams breakdown. I mean, 2 years ago, that was a weird first half. The Nebraska went in the locker room 21-16 when it looked like Nebraska was going to get their doors blown off. And then it was still a little wonky in the second half. So how do you adapt in what could be a weird couple of first series? But even the bigger thing that I'll hang my hat on is, what does it look like coming out of the locker room? And I'll throw that into the discussion about what is a successful season? Is Nebraska better prepared to begin the second half, offensively or defensively? That it doesn't take them a while to get up to speed. The situation in West Lafayette with Rondale Moore has kind of interesting. So Purdue and Iowa play tomorrow at Ross-Ade Stadium. Rondale Moore will not be playing in the game. Purdue in the last 15 minutes has confirmed reports that he is not available. Remember, Rondale Moore opted out of the season and then opted back in. His head coach was asked about Moore's availability yesterday, and this was the quote. Just like with everybody, we don't want to give any information out specifically until game day, and then we'll go from there. Jeff Brohm will not be coaching because of COVID. We don't know why Rondale Moore will not be playing. I'm sure we'll find out more tomorrow, but that's a big loss for Purdue, which still is trying to look for viable quarterback play, and that was one thing you could count on is how dynamic Rondale Moore is. I wonder if Rondale Moore has played his last game at Purdue. We'll follow that situation. And the thing to keep in mind, if we get to tomorrow and some guys aren't on the field and it's COVID-related, you're not going to see him for a while. You're out for 3 weeks. Whether that's, you know, you've been out for a couple of weeks or that's your first week out, you're gone for 3 weeks. All right, straight up at noon. Still to come, Brett Ciancia. Chance for you to win a TV from Fernando's at 1620 The Zone. And Dirk Chatelain will join us as well. We'll talk about expectations, successful season, what it all looks like. When we come back, we'll dive deeper into the weekend of college football and the NFL. And a birthday today of somebody who is one of the greatest ever in their sport.
I have no idea who this is.
Well, now you're in the break going to go and look at whose birthday is today.
I'm trying.
Somebody who I missed his short little run in this country.
Okay.
But is the I don't when you hear the name, George, is he the GOAT of that sport?
Okay.
All right. Straight up at noon, Gary Sharp Show on a Football Friday Fiesta on 1620 The Zone.